Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues is what we call this show on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Ed Vitagliano is in studio with me today, hosting. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And per usual on Wednesdays, Abe Hamilton, Abraham Hamilton III, also known as Abe.
Good morning.
Comes in with us. Morning, Abe. How you doing, brother?
Good morning. I'm doing very well.
We have got much to talk about today, as you would hope we would on a talk show. And, well, we had planned 10 minutes of silence, but we decided to fill it in with some talk. So what do we got coming up, Ed?
Well,
why should people listen to this program?
Well, we three kings.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have, but I did. No.
We're going to talk about some top headlines in just a minute, but in a few minutes we're going to have Dave Johnson, who's producer of the new movie Vanished, Left Behind, Next Generation. So for those of you who are fans of the Left Behind movies, there is a reboot, I guess is the way to put it. And then
when does this come out? Does it come out in theaters?
I think they have a limited showing tonight.
That is limited.
Yeah. And then I think it'll have a wider release later on.
Oh, okay.
But we can ask Dave. And Dave Johnson was also the second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles in the 1970s.
Ron Dave Johnson.
Much,
You don't try to do too much, Tim. Okay. The listeners can only take one person.
Can only take one Tim?
Who's sarcastic without explanation.
Okay.
You need to. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. And then next
we are a lot alike, but somebody's got to be the straight man.
And that's me? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't mind being straight, Tim, if that's what this
well,
is all about.
Go ahead.
All right. Alex McFarland. I know. I just can't help it. Alex McFarland next hour. We'll be talking with Alex some, but usually we talk with Alex about all kinds of stuff, but we are going to talk about the presidential debate and the state of the election. So it's
David
always great
Johnson.
To have Alex.
David Johnson was a great second baseman.
Yes, he was.
And manager of the Mets.
Yeah.
But this is a different Dave Johnson.
Okay.
That's the point we're trying to make.
Yeah.
All right, so that's coming up on the program. Alex McFarland is going to be with us next hour.
Yes.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal. Abe, has there been any ramifications from the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump yesterday that you saw as significant?
Well, the polls this morning have Trump up by 4. The LA Times USC poll has Trump up by 4.
That's a national poll.
National poll. So
and that's
I think
a bump up, isn't it?
That is a bump up.
Good
because
night.
Prior to...
This guy's got the Midas touch, doesn't he?
Huh? Prior to the debate, he's got an additional point. Since the debate.
You know, if you're Hillary Clinton, I beat him like a drum. and I'm losing points. What's going on here?
Well, and now she really is saying, why aren't I up by 50 points?
Man.
On this
I don't
guy.
Think she beat him like a drum. I'm just saying in her mind she did.
Yeah.
And to her supporters.
Oh, they were very celebratory. They thought they had, and we talked yesterday, I thought on points.
Right.
You know, in style, she was a better debater. But that's to be expected. She's spent her whole life, really, her whole adult life in the political arena, and she's run for office, and, you know, she was a U.S. senator, so she's been in debates.
Yeah.
She, you know, was in the debate, you know, doing all that in 2008, running in the primaries, and then this year and last year, she's got lots of experience.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen Ted Cruz.
Man, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Ed Vitagliano, Bobby Blue Bland.
I think Trump will be much better his second debate. I predict that. But he left so much quote low hanging fruit.
Oh my gosh, on
Monday night.
I just wished with everything in me when they got on, because he whiffed on some of the points. But when they start talking about her experience, I wish Donald Trump would have said, you know what? That's one thing we agree on. Hillary Clinton is experienced at running our country into the ground and then run off a
he
list
did say
of
bad
all
experience.
Of the examples. Yeah, I know, but that's pretty broad.
I know.
Just lay it out.
Trump's usually better than he was as far as quick quips and things. But I think he was by Ted Cruz, I meant Ted Cruz was the national debate champion Harvard.
Harvard. Yes.
So, I mean, I really believe he would have destroyed Hillary Clinton.
He would have tap danced all around her in the debate.
I don't know the debate, but that's not going to happen because Donald Trump was a Republican nominee. But I do think Trump will be better the second go around because he's going to see what he failed to bring up.
Yeah.
As he watches the video.
Yes.
And his team goes over it with him because Hillary Clinton, she forced some issues.
Oh, yeah.
About Trump's negatives. That he didn't force onto her about her negatives. Now, Lester Holt helped Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
That was clear.
Huh?
That was clear. I really did think this is probably a good choice for a moderator. I generally like him.
Right.
He's Today's Show guy, right? Yeah. He seems, you know, as middle of the road as you can get for the Today Show, but he was very one-sided, I thought. In his choice of questions, his selection
that was
of questions,
his choice.
Those are his choices, and in his badgering of Trump on a number of occasions on things that aren't really that important anymore.
The Bertha thing is completely not.
That's over with.
It's not even. In fact, last week he said Trump said he was born in the United States. Period. In other words,
move on.
If I were Trump now I'm not saying that it wouldn't be. If you had a top 50 list of issues, it might be 48 on the list on why did you ever think he wasn't born in America, Mr. Trump, explain yourself. Okay.
Right.
But at this point, with the problems we have facing our country and we have a national presidential election coming up, the fact that you would spend time on the birther thing says to me that Lester Holt was trying to make him – my job is to make Trump look bad on this issue – here I go.
Especially if you don't bring up the Clinton Foundation with Hillary Clinton.
I don't know how you do that. And honestly,
How you don't bring those things up?
How do you not bring that up on the Clinton Foundation? Especially in the context of discussing cybersecurity.
Yes.
I mean, how do you?
Oh, if I were Donald Trump in cybersecurity and she started talking, I would have probably started laughing.
Yeah.
Out loud, and it probably would have been inappropriate, but the camera would have probably panned over.
Yeah. Oh, please,
cybersecurity.
Don't talk about cybersecurity.
Right, Hillary, you're talking about cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Please.
And I would have used that to segue into and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason why your choice should be very simple.
There you go, Abe. Yeah.
This Secretary of State is unqualified because either she is so corrupt to her core that she elevates her personal interest in remaining secret over the American public's safety of our intelligence information, or she doesn't have the judgment to distinguish national security emails from her daughter's wedding plans.
Right, yoga schedule.
Trump should have forced that. And
I think he will. I think you're right.
Next time he will.
I think he will.
You know, if you thought
that's T-ball right there.
I know. Yeah. I know. If you thought the gloves were off. This time, I don't think they were.
Well, and as some noted, and you mentioned it yesterday, this was his first one-on-one debate.
Yes.
Now, Hillary Clinton has had many, you know, and even in this primary season with Bernie Sanders, and I said she's an experienced debater, so that was kind of his baptism in fire. The good thing is for Trump, although I had a lot of criticisms yesterday, the good thing for him is he did not have an Aleppo moment.
That's true.
You know, he did not have a moment there where he said something so incredibly off the wall, like Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate.
Yeah.
I don't think the debate hurt him, and I think he's got enough.
Obviously, it didn't hurt him. It didn't hurt him in the polls. He's still what he was or better off.
Right.
Yeah, he's better off going to this LA Times poll.
So he can, and as you pointed out, Tim, we talked about this and kicked it around yesterday. What do you do if you're the Hillary campaign and you're going, listen, we had an excellent debate performance. Our candidate didn't have to go to the bathroom one time, didn't have one coughing fit, you know, those kinds of things that have kind of embarrassed her, you know, in previous, you know, debates or interviews. we had a great performance, and the guy is going to gain afterwards. Now you're sitting there saying, what do we have to do? And if Trump has a better performance in debates 2 and 3, that's really going to complicate things for the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody can forget in 2012, Mitt Romney, everybody said, outperformed Barack Obama in the first debate. Yeah. He outperformed him.
And President Obama knew that, I think, when it was over
his
with.
His own staff told him he was terrible.
Yeah.
And intervention.
Yeah, and then he bounced back in debates 2 and 3 and obviously was reelected. So,
yeah.
If you thought that was a poor performance by, I thought it was mediocre by Trump.
Right.
But I think he will come back with a very strong performance in debate 2. And if I were Hillary Clinton, I would not want to tango with Donald Trump after Donald Trump realizes. See, she got personal, and she started slinging mud at the very end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He didn't even have time.
Yeah.
Remember she said, you call women dogs and pigs. And,
yep.
I mean, that's slinging mud over there to his side. And up to that point, pretty much they had kept from doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, with 2 minutes to go, she starts throwing that out.
Right.
Well, all he had time to think about was, what am I going to say now? Am I going to bring up the serial adulterer?
The parade of bimbos.
Yeah, am I going to do that or am I not? So he decided not to do that. So he decided not to sling the personal stuff, mud, mm-hmm. back towards her, which I think was a smart thing to do. But I'm just saying, in round two, he may not bring up the bimbos, the list of bimbos in the Clinton background, but I'm talking about I probably will bring up the things that Abe's talked about and you've mm-hmm. talked about as far as the series of events in her life that had caused people to view her as the majority of American people to be dishonest and untrustworthy.
And you can start, if she brings up what Trump has said in the past about women, and some of those things are terrible things, you know, if you're not a politician and you're just, kicking stuff around, what Trump ought to say is, well, if you are that in favor of protecting women, why does the Clinton Foundation take millions of dollars from countries like Saudi Arabia?
He's going to do that next time.
Oh, he's going to do that.
So. He's going to do that next time.
Yeah. And I think you're going to have to distinguish the extramarital dalliances from the rape victims.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, but I don't think you want to get into that.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that you.
Huh? Well, the other is.
If you're Trump, I don't think you want to get into that.
No, no.
I think
the others are harder hitting. The other thing's harder hitting. I'm talking about the money from countries that do not that mistreat women, mm-hmm. at least from a Western perspective, and then it shifts the focus to the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's a good way to cut into her lead among women.
Yeah but she her lead among women. Yeah. I was just gonna say, if you are Hillary, and Hillary Clinton may end up winning. Who knows? We don't know where this is gonna go. We got two more debates left. But she's behind right now, and she's not supposed to be.
Right.
No. And that's got to be worrisome to the Clinton and the Democrats.
And what else can she do? I mean, what can she do?
That's what I was saying yesterday. We can talk about this more later, but I think her ceiling – I think she's hit her ceiling. I don't know – that's why if she wins, she's going to have to back into the presidency. She's going to win by some people who are thinking right now, maybe I'll vote for Trump, saying, no, I'm not going to vote for him because I'd rather have the status quo.
Yeah,
you know, in the end, that's the way they break. But right now, like we said, he's got all the momentum, and it's hard for her to convince any more people to vote for her that have already said that they're going to vote for her. That's the situation she finds herself in, and she's outspending what, 3 or 4 to 1,
5 to 1,
5 to 1.
It's past,
so you
for
spent
the month,
all that money, and you can't dent his armor.
The month prior to the debate, I think she outspent him 5 to 1.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, she should be blowing him out.
Right.
And she's not. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Abe Hamilton. Thank you for listening to our program. Our guest now is a gentleman who has a movie coming out today. Right, Ed?
Yes, limited release, I think, today.
All right. Who is he?
Dave Johnson, who's producer of the new movie Vanished, Left Behind, Next Generation. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, hey, before we get started as to what the movie is about, I mean, the title Left Behind is familiar to our listeners, but what is the release schedule? Do we have that right? Is it a limited release today or full release or what?
Well, it's actually nationwide today. We're doing a little bit of a new model. It's all over the country, about 700 theaters, but it's just for tonight. So it's Fathom event.
Okay.
You see the film, and then there's a Q&A with our cast and with the filmmakers, Randy LaHaye and myself. And that is hosted by Doug Fields and Josh Griffin. Doug Fields is one of the leading youth leaders in the country, speakers. And so it's a great evening. And, you know, first and foremost, it's about entertainment. You've got to engage people. But the movie brings up bigger issues, and people at the end of it are starting to think about bigger things.
Like what?
Well, about our place in the world, and there's a Ben Rector song.
That was Michael W. I think that was Michael W. Smith right there. our place in the world. I think you got that. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, very, very much. It's a common theme, and especially, you know, I heard you guys talking before, you know, if it does seem like the end times could be coming. and so there's a Ben Rector song playing our end credits called Like the World is Going to End. And it really asks the question sort of, you know, how would your life change? How would you live it differently if you knew the world was going to end, you know, next Tuesday? And that's sort of what makes, you know, our film is really geared. It's loved by all ages, but it's really geared teens and tweens.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's a question they don't always ask. They kind of live in the moment all the time. And so we've heard from people who've seen it a lot in test screenings, and youth pastors and parents will come to us afterwards and always say, boy, that really had an impact on my child or our students. And they start talking about, gee, what do you think? You know, how is this going to end? And
yeah, well, let me ask you. I'm 58. I'm getting up there so old. I don't even care if people know how old I am. But I became a Christian when I was almost 20 in 1978, and I remember that's not all we talked about, but always talking about, you know, the rapture and Jesus coming back. And so let me kind of springboard off of what you just said. Do young people, you know, part of your target audience here, you know, millennials, whatever you want to call them, do they ever think about the rapture or the second coming of Christ or those kinds of things? I mean, is that on their radar screen?
I think the concept of the end times is, and you see it in all the popular things of that, you know, for high school kids now, you know. This got started because Randy LaHaye, who is Tim LaHaye's grandson, and Randy's in his 30s, late 30s, and his grandson, you know, created all the Left Behind stuff and had a big impact. And Randy came to me a few years ago and he said, look, I want to do a young, you know, fresh, new, cool version for young people of the Left Behind idea of that world. And that's all he had to say to me. And I said, oh, I get it. I am totally in. That's a home run. And he said, really, it's the YA version of Left Behind. And for your listeners who don't know, YA means young adult. YA is a genre that has exploded. So that's Twilight, Hunger Games, Divergent, Maze Runner, all those movies. So kids do have a fascination of sort of that, you know, futuristic concept. And this one, of course, you go into it, it's entertaining, it's a what if, we're just doing a world, we're not doing a theological movie. But once you're in it, it talks about real things. It talks about being a believer, you know, the believers were taken, what does that mean? And what is the world going forward?
Well, the movie's called Vanished, it's tonight.
It's tonight all over the country. So, you know, there's a theater near you. You can go to The Vanished Film, thevanishedfilm.com, and just put in your zip code. It'll show you the nearest theater. We're selling out theaters all over the country. Lots and lots of youth groups are going together, or, you know, people are going like that. And women love the movie as well. It's sort of a, you know, it's got a little romance in the middle of it, and it's got action, and it's, you know, we've gotten fabulous reviews. Your guy, you know, Tim, I don't know if you remember the last time we were together, I was eating some fried green tomatoes, I think, there. I was coming down working on summer snow, and I am potential. And so I love you guys down there. But then also Randall did a review, and it just came out, and he loved the movie, and he got it completely. And every review we've had, it just been fabulous. So we're really thrilled. The kids, it really moves them and impacts them. And it, like I say, I'm kind of in their language. It makes them start to think about, you know, bigger things.
How do you find out if the movie's in the theater near you or near me?
How do you find out? You can go to thevanishedfilm.com, and there's a place to just write on the page there. You just put in your zip code,
okay,
and it'll bring up all the theaters in your area. Or you can go to Fathom, FATHOM.com as well, and they'll also get you there.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Much success with the book, with the movie. It's called Vanished, Left Behind, Next Generation, and it's at theaters today across the
country.
Appreciate
it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Dave Johnson joining us.
And his mention of Randall was Randall Murphy, who is the editor of the AFA Journal.
Right.
So he wrote, he saw the film in advance and wrote a review, and
a positive review.
Very positive review. So.
And that Randall doesn't always write positive reviews.
If you get one past Randall, that means you have succeeded. It's not only an engaging film, but it's not objectionable.
He doesn't just rubber stamp movies here at AFA because they're, quote, Christian.
It has to pass the Randall test. That's a real thing around here.
Right. So anyway. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we are going to next hour. What we got?
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about top headlines, us three, and then next hour is Alex McFarland. Our folks are familiar with him, author and apologetics expert. He's co-host of Exploring the Word with Bert Harper. That's heard weekdays on AFR at 3 p.m. Central Time. We'll be talking with Alex about some current events, too. Just so much going on. We needed a day to kind of clear the deck. So,
yeah. Clear the deck.
Clear the deck of some of these issues, put a Christian perspective on it.
Any more on the Charlotte situation, or is that over?
No, it's not over. It's the police. The family was allowed to see all of the police videos.
Yeah.
The police chief released some previously unreleased videos. And
but I haven't seen any more protests.
No, the protests have appeared to die down. And I think something that's not being discussed enough is...
Stop right there. That is a great tease. Do not hold
something
that...
Something that has not been discussed enough.
Yes, hold
enough
that thought, Abe.
That.
Abe's new to radio. We're teaching him. Okay, right there. See, people want to come back and see what you how you finish that sentence here. Okay? All right. You want to know what Abe...
Folks, you want to know what has not been discussed yet about Charlotte?
Then you have to come back after the break.
Abe, nothing you've ever heard before.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll continue to inform listeners.
I don't know anybody who's ever been pulled over for driving while gay.
Encourage Christians to make a difference.
Our encouragement to folks is to find some help to, in a Christian way, deal with the temptation.
Amen. And equip you to help restore the moral foundations of our nation.
It's the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekdays at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR or online at AFR.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. and we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. When you dropped your kids off at school today, you probably saw a bunch of students gathered around the flagpole. Those kids were part of See You at the Pole, a national prayer gathering. Some 2 million young people woke up before sunrise to pray with their classmates, holding hands on this cool autumn day to pray for our nation, to cry out, as the psalmist said so many centuries ago. See You at the Pole is a yearly tradition that started in 1990. What began as a small group of teenagers turned into a global movement. And today, some 2 million students in all 50 states will petition the Almighty, and Lord knows we need it. It's unlikely you will see these young people on the evening news. Kids who pillage and plunder generate more ratings than kids who pray. But truth be told, the only prayer our nation has may be as a result of those kids. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Abe Hamilton. Hey, if you want to send us an email, comments@afr.net is our email address, comments@afr.net. We're on the cutting edge of technology here, and so we use email like nobody. So I'm just telling you.
Cutting edge.
Cutting edge.
We have a machine that puts stamps on our envelopes. Right.
comments@afr.net. And if you want to listen to American Family Radio on the internet, go to the website afr.net. Just click on Listen Live. There you go. I don't even think you have to click on anymore.
As soon as you go to afr.net, bam, you are listening to AFR Talk.
Oh,
right,
so
off the bat.
You don't have to do anything but go to the website afr.net, and then it comes
automatically
on.
Loads it, huh?
Automatically. That's annoying.
What's annoying when it happens to me when I go to a website?
Huh? It is annoying.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Oh, I hate it. I'm not talking about our website.
Right, I'm talking
about everybody else's.
Right, everybody else's.
If I go to a news website and they automatically load their news.
You start
story,
hearing something,
yeah.
You have it popped on, click, listen. Anyway, that's what we're doing to you right there at afr.net.
Do unto others as you hate other people doing unto
you.
Then
also we have the app. So if you want to download the app on your smartphone or your iPad or your other electronic mobile device, then you can do that in 60 seconds and then listen to American Family Radio in your app anywhere in the world, as long as you got high-speed internet, and most places do now. So check that out. I'm talking, that's that easy. You can follow us and listen anywhere in the world to American Family Radio on your cell phone or your iPad. I've told this story many times, but I'll tell it once again. We had a lady who went on one of our, who went with us to the Holy Land in March. One year, we go once a year in March, and she was a listener to American Family Radio. And she, her husband pastored in Arkansas for many years. She lived in Arkansas, although she grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn.
You talk about a funny sight when a lady looks at you and says, I'm from Arkansas, and then. But coming out of her mouth is, no, you're not.
You know, Brooklyn, New York.
She grew up in Brooklyn, lived in Arkansas, and then when her husband passed, she moved back to Brooklyn, back near her family.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so disheartened because she couldn't get American Family Radio because she loved listening to AFR.
Yeah. And, so what did she do?
Well, Allison, my wife, told her, hey, get yourself an iPad. And you can listen there. It's easy. It's just, you know, and so she went home. She's near 90 years old, somewhere 85, 86, 87. She told her daughter, go get me one of them iPads, Allison said. So she went and got her an iPad, brought it over. I think download the app. There you go. Boom. She's listening. It's problem solved. And her heart was happy again. Because she had AFR in Brooklyn, New York, when we don't even have a radio station.
And I'll bet walking, if she's in an apartment or something, I'll bet that's not something you hear very often, walking down the hallway, AFR coming out from an apartment in Brooklyn, New York.
Anyway, it's that easy.
Go ahead. Me ask you a question. You said anywhere there's internet. Now, my wife and I have never been on a cruise. You know, that's on our bucket list, just because I want to stand 24/7 at a buffet line. I just want to do that one time in my life.
You have aspirations for gluttony.
That's right. Okay. But let me ask you this.
Your aspirations will be met.
They will be met. So let me ask, on a cruise, is there Wi-Fi on a cruise?
I think there is.
You can get satellite-driven internet access.
Okay. Right. I was just curious. Right. So someone technically could, on a cruise, listen to AFR.
Yeah, if they have what Abe's talking about. They've improved that now.
I don't know why you'd want to be connected to the web while you're on a cruise.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
if you're going to go on a cruise, maybe don't do that. I don't know.
I was just curious. So
yeah. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. When last we left you, Brother Abe was going to share with us about
Timmy had fallen in a mine, and Lassie was barking. And
now back to our story. I'd asked Abe about what was happening in Charlotte because I hadn't heard much about it. Of course, the debate's been on the news, but the story in Charlotte regarding the man who was shot by police. Mm-hmm. And then the follow-up, we had a riot for a night or two, was it? And then we had the protest for three or four nights. But mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything about the story subsequent to that, other than the police were, you know, they were doing the investigation of mm-hmm. what happened. Anyway, what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say one of the things that I don't think is being discussed enough is the fact that of those rioters who were arrested, the overwhelming majority of them were not even from North Carolina.
Now, what does that tell
70%.
You?
70%.
They're from out of state. They're driving in, sort of renter protesters.
That's exactly right. And the same things.
George Soros funding this?
That's what I'm getting to. Okay. George Soros, the Ford Foundation, and a bunch of other groups. George Soros gave the Black Lives Matter group $33 million right off the bat, and then he led a group of people to pledge another $100 million to support.
What?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Our news director, Fred Jackson, shared the story with me, and it's been discussed on Urban with the Ford Foundation and several other secular progressive philanthropic entities.
That's a bunch of money.
Exactly. And that is what I'm getting at. And when you look at the actual documents from the Black Lives Matter website, they desire to foment chaos. So when you ask questions, wait a minute. So the protest is supposed to be protesting what appears to be racism in the police department. But when it comes out that it's a black law enforcement officer who actually shot Keith Scott, how does that reconcile with the narrative? Well, it doesn't. What it does is just create cover for more people to rush in and to burn a city down. So when you ask the question, well, they're burning down their own cities, it's most of the time not the people burning down their own cities.
Gotcha.
It's people being bussed in from other places to help add anarchy and to throw gasoline on embers to burn cities down. Same things happen in Ferguson. You see the things, how can you have spontaneous protests where you have printed high gloss signs with verbiage because you had the verbiage and signs printed already waiting for an opportunity to descend on an environment. And so,
yeah, because these protests, they occur, I mean, in Charlotte, it wasn't spontaneous. It was later as apparently the protesters came in. But that's a good question. How did they get these signs all mm-hmm. of a sudden? Well, they're prefab.
They're prefab signs. You have people that are taking advantage of societal occurrences to advance their agenda. Because when you look at the agenda items and whatever the demands that they're making, they do not jive with people that are concerned about racial profiling in the inner cities or people that are concerned about injustice, which is why you have the situation like occurred in Wichita, Kansas, where you had a local Black Lives Matter chapter that planned a barbecue with police officers so that they can have an opportunity for the community to come together and the police officers spend the time in fellowship with the citizens in the community. Well, the National Black Lives Matter group said, no, that is not consistent with our principles. Wait, I thought we wanted a conversation. We wanted to bring the country together. We wanted to try to move the ball down the field and provide some source of societal cohesiveness. Well, no, not if you are committed to an agenda that uses chaos and anarchy as an opportunity to move the country in a different direction. And they specifically said that getting along with the police is not keeping with our driving core principles.
You know, something else about George Soros that I found out today.
For those who don't know, maybe they're new to Christian radio or conservative, hearing things from a sort of from a conservative perspective. George Soros.
George Soros is a billionaire. He's a secular progressive. He's a globalist, which means what globalists want is they want to push the world towards a one world government. Now, and I'm not talking crazy here.
And they don't even understand the theological implications of this. These are people who
has nothing to do with the Book of Revelation.
Gotcha. From their perspective.
From their perspective. Yeah. I mean, it may wind up going that way. But their belief is that in order for humanity to advance. And I wrote an article about this that's going to be in the AFA Journal in November.
It's worth the read.
Well, thank you. It is. This is a series of articles beginning, I think, in July or August about secular progressivism. But they even at the beginning of the 1900s said the only way for humanity really to advance and come to its apex of achievement is for a one-world government to arise. And the reason they believe that is because nationalism, which is Americans rooting for America first, French people rooting for France first, that is an obstacle towards a one-world government. So they will sometimes, in moments of honesty, say, the worst thing in the world is nationalism. And this is why President Obama is a globalist. That's why he goes around saying, he knocks America and says we're not as great as we think we are. And this is why globalists want nations to topple. That's what I believe. So George Soros, that's why he wants to fund Black Lives Matter. That's why you have, you know, Cloward Piven, all these strategies to create anarchy so that the Constitution, this is my belief, the Constitution is overthrown so we can be absorbed into a one-world government. Now, I don't mean this to be a monologue here, but something I found out about George Soros is that he gave money. You ever heard of Sojourners?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Wallace, evangelical left.
Who was President Obama's spiritual advisor for the entire first term of his presidency.
That's right. Jim Wallace was forced to admit that Sojourners took money from George Soros and his organization. That was on World Magazine. I just read that today. And you say, well, why would George Soros give money to a leftist Christian movement? And it's because this is not just simply an atheistic enterprise. These globalists will take anybody.
That's right.
And my personal belief is that Jim Wallace has Marxist beliefs, and this is kind of the far-reaching effect of the George Soros money.
It is, and George Soros' primary philanthropic outfit is called Open Society.
Right.
I mean, his desire is to have an open, borderless, nationless world. That is what he advocates for. And
controlled by a one-world government.
Controlled by a one-world global elite, one-world government. You're absolutely right. And the reason why he funded, as you said, because Jim Wallace adheres to liberation theology, which is steeped in Marxism.
Right.
Steeped in Marxism. And I just sent you guys the emails, but the groups that are involved in this $100 million fund are the Ford Foundation, George Soros' Open Society, the Bareilles Foundation, the Hill Snowden Foundation, Solidaire, the Novo Foundation, the Association of Black Foundation Executives, the Neighborhood Funders Group, and a cabal of anonymous donors.
Where'd you find this information?
Washington Times. I just sent both of you.
Okay.
What I want our listeners to understand, this is a spiritual war.
Yes.
It goes far beyond Republican and Democrat or conservative or liberal.
Right.
This is a spiritual war for the future of Western civilization, if it will continue to exist,
right,
and the future of humanity. This is serious business, folks.
And it's spiritual war. It's a war on Christianity.
And that's the ultimate,
Jesus Christ.
That's the ultimate root of the rebellion.
Right.
Is a rebellion against God, because Western civilization, at least in its manifestation over the last several hundred years, has been based, or a thousand years maybe, 2,000 since the Roman Empire fell, it has been based on the Judeo-Christian worldview. And the overthrow of Western civilization starts with the overthrow of that Judeo-Christian root.
Well, also, the United States of America is known as the most Christian nation in the world. Okay, now you and those listening to this program and us, we in this room, understand that's questionable, because we see the lifestyle
right.
that Americans are living mm-hmm. is inconsistent with biblical teaching mm-hmm. More than it ever has been.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but that being said, the history of America is one of strong Christian faith. By a majority of Americans of all stripes. So, therefore, the gospel of Jesus Christ has gone out here and abroad probably more than any other country in the world has done more to spread the Christianity around the world and to proclaim the gospel of Christ. So that the enemy of God, Satan, would like to destroy the mothership
yeah.
of Christianity on planet Earth. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I know I'm talking broadly, but I think this fits in with what you're saying, Ed, and this is a great spiritual war
mm-hmm.
that people who are not believers in Christ believe the Bible. They can't understand this. Their eyes are blinded
mm-hmm.
to what we're talking about. It freaks them out.
Right.
It's spooky. They think we're thinking apocalyptic, and we are in a certain respect. But there's a great war, Abe, going mm-hmm. on between God and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the players on planet Earth is America and freedom of religion and the Christian church. And Satan is trying to bring down America and the Christian church inside America. Anyway.
Well, let me just say to our listeners, okay, let me put American Family Association into context here. Because when we tell our listeners, folks, get out there, get registered,
right.
and vote and get involved.
Right.
Okay? And you still have time. Most states are 30 days out from an election. You can still get registered.
And not just the presidential election at right. stake here, but other things. But go ahead.
Let me just put this in perspective. If this country is lost to the secular progressive movement, like Europe for the most part has been lost, it is over. I mean, we are talking about movements towards one world government and a spiritual dark age that could last for generations to come. This is not small potatoes here. We cannot lose this country to the secular progressive movement. And let me just say this: this is harsh and maybe too strong for some of our listeners. But for those of you out there who are Christians who think this doesn't matter, it does matter, because homeschooling will be out the window. We are talking about religious liberty at the outset will be pushed into our churches, but that's it. We are talking we are talking the loss of Second Amendment rights. We are talking about the loss of the liberty that we have taken for granted. And if for Christians who don't think that's important, well, just wait till they come knocking on your door. Wait till they come take your kids away. Wait till they start by taking your kids and putting them in preschool, kindergarten at age 2 and 3 and tell you have no right to tell us what we teach your kids about sexuality and about a whole host of things. You think this doesn't matter? You better wake up and smell the coffee, because...
Right. I get angry when I hear Christians who are... They act sanctimonious. Mm-hmm. Well, let me back up. Some of them are acting out of what they feel is conviction,
right?
And others are acting out. That is, I'm not going to participate in politics because it's not of God, and there's no good choices.
Right.
So I'm just going to sit it out. Okay. When you say that, what you're doing is you're putting your fingers in your ears or your hands over your eyes, and you're saying, la 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 la. That's the equivalent of doing that, because guess what? Somebody's going to be elected president.
Right.
Whether you vote or not, somebody's going to be elected president. And if you don't vote, then what you're saying is, I'm good with everybody else deciding for me who the next president will be. Mm-hmm. And I know there are rarely situations in history where you go, you know, I'm 100% on board with that guy.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, whatever. So I think you need to reevaluate. If that's your way of thinking, that you're not going to vote because you don't view this as you don't have a choice between the two candidates, I would ask you to think through that very seriously and reevaluate that, because as Ed says, whoever's elected president is going to have monumental decisions that affect the very way we live here in our country. It's more than just it's not as simple as, well, this man has no character in his background, so therefore I'm not going to vote for him. No, he's going to control. If Trump is elected, he's going to control the executive branch of the government.
Right.
If Hillary Clinton's elected, she's going to control the executive branch of government. And they have two different worldviews right there on how they will use the government to affect our lives.
And look at the last, if anybody doubts that, just look at what has happened in the last 7.5 years.
Right.
From the presidency.
Right.
I mean, when Barack Obama said he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America, a lot of people,
he
meant it. And even more startling is that he's done it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the great societal upheavals we have experienced and we are experiencing right now, just starting in 2008.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and there is so much at stake here with this next presidential election coming up November the 8th. Is it the 8th?
November the 8th.
Yes, November the 8th.
Second Tuesday?
Yes.
Yes.
in November. And then we've also got Senate races and House of Representative races.
Governorships. State legislatures.
School boards, city councils, mayors. There's a lot to vote on. Coming up for a lot of people here, and but certainly a lot of attention being given, as it should be, to who the next president.
And can I just give my one last pitch here for involvement? And like you said, Tim, it was good for you to say there are Christian brothers and sisters listening who believe this is a theological issue, that we shouldn't be involved in politics, and that's their conviction. I think personally, some people don't want to be involved or they don't want to stand up because of cowardice, okay? But I'm granting that their whatever percent is conviction. But let me just appeal to your reason, because if that is your theological conviction, that it's all going to burn, so we should just preach the gospel, not worry about politics, then fine, I want to see consistency in your life. When your roof leaks, I don't want you getting it fixed, because it's all going to burn, okay? When your car, when your engine starts to knock, I do not want you taking it to the mechanic, because it's all going to burn. When you have something, a pain in your body, I better not see you at the doctor getting it fixed, because that's just a temporary temple, and it's all going to burn. So if you want to be consistent, brother or sister, that's what I want to see out of your life. But if you get your roof fixed, if you get your car fixed, if you go to the doctor and because you want to get those things fixed, I don't know why you won't fix your republic by being salt and light and by voting. And to me, I think it's either theological blindness that is motivating you or it's cowardice. You don't want to be involved because you know around the water cooler, you're going to be mocked for your Christian beliefs, because where it's hottest, that's where the Christian ought to be standing up. Not being a shrinking violet. Sermon over.
If you can't say amen, say ouch.
Yeah.
I think we have an awkward moment of silence right here. If we were in a church service and everybody's looking at each other going, wow, Brother Ed is on a roll here today. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Hey, you're right, Ed, and people need to think about what you've just said. If you've said, I'm not going to vote, and you take the approach that it's all going to burn, then what Brother Ed is saying is true. What if you take that approach? You don't take that approach to any other part of life, but you take it to politics and to government, to voting. That, you know, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And I'm of the view and not everybody subscribes to this, and that's a problem for them, not for me, because I'm right. And that is, I'm kidding. I'm not always right. Ask my wife. But anyway, you know what? We sometimes have to look at who we're voting for when maybe you don't have the perfect choice of candidates on who's going to do less harm. All right? That you can look at who's going to do more good, and then you can look at it at who's going to do less harm. I think right. that's if you're going to look at who's going to do more good, then you can also do look at – what do you think about that, Abe? Is that unscriptural, what I've just
– No, I don't think it's unscriptural. I think it's a good way to look at it because, you know, sometimes based on – Ed, I wouldn't call it a rant. I'd say poignant thoughts.
Amen, yeah. I was kidding.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't even.
Yeah, I would say amen. You're right.
Picking on that.
I would say amen if I was in church and Ed was preaching that.
But I was saying if we want to be candid, a lot of what we are facing, the lack of more viable choices, some would say, is not due to the darkness being more dark. It's often due to the light not participating, you know, and absenting itself from that. So then the question becomes, well, how do we respond? And your thought about who will do less harm. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, that my approach to civic engagement is that I understand that the only one who can change hearts is Jesus Christ. But the Lord placed us. If you believe the Bible, you have to believe Acts 17:26, which means you have to believe that God put you and I here in America, those who are in America in 2016, being fully cognizant of what was to come. How then should we respond? My approach to civic engagement is that I do so with the mindset, who will populate our government in such a way that will be the least oppressive to the church doing the work of the Great Commission? Who will do less harm to my ability to be salt and light as a member of the kingdom of God? Understanding that somebody is going to be president. Somebody is going to be president.
Right.
How do you wrestle with the mandate from God? Not just, you know, a good sermon, the mandate from God that you and I are called to be salt and light in this day and in this time.
Right.
Incumbent upon and included in that consideration is our decision of who's going to be our president.
Well, and laws do matter. I understand. And we're all in agreement. I'm sure the Christians listening here on this side of the microphone, the gospel is the most important thing because change hearts and eternity is the most important thing. But laws make a difference. I'm not talking about getting you into the kingdom. Laws teach people things. Mm-hmm. Supreme Court decisions teach people things. And if you don't think that the Supreme Court ruling legalizing same-sex marriage isn't going to change the way young people think about marriage, you're loony.
Yeah.
You don't understand how people learn. There's a reason why in Israel, God gave Moses the law and gave the law to Israel, and he said, teach your children these laws, because while the law couldn't save people, it directed their thinking and directed their lives. Laws do make a difference. And so, as you said, Abe, populating the government with people who fear God and who try to keep his commandments, who believe in God's truth, that makes a huge difference.
And there are several recent examples. I know the music is on, but, you know, in the Loving case, interracial marriage.
Right.
Before the Loving decision, that people that believe that should be illegal.
1967.
Changes in the law always result in changes in heart, even though it takes a little bit longer time.
Right.
Because the law is a schoolmaster, as Galatians says.
All right, we're going to be back. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us next half hour. And, folks, all the more reason to pray for our country every day. And pray that God sends us leadership that will protect religious liberty, that will allow Christianity to flourish unhindered, and will promote biblical truth as much as possible. So let's pray for that end. And we'll be back after the break. We've got news and information straight ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.